around the 5th century, there was a great saintly person, Sheikh Najmuddin Kubra Rahmatullah Alayh. They are the saints and they are the awliya of Allah Ta'ala, who know their positions in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. And they are those who are awliya, but they don't know what maqam they hold. So, a person that outwardly seems to be pious and he doesn't flout the law of the Sharia, he is worthy of respect. If he is in conformity with the Sunnah, he doesn't break any law of the Sharia, then he is worthy of respect. We do not know his position in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Many a times we want to respect the person after we have seen something extraordinary. We didn't see anything extraordinary, so we don't hold him in that level of respect. And many times he may be very, very high. He may be even higher than those awliya that show some type of extraordinary things. So there are these awliya, and very few people know what their position is. One great saintly person, these awliya, they are like the manifestation of the sifat of Allah Ta'ala. The attribute of Allah Ta'ala is zahir, and his attribute is batin. In other words, he is apparent and he is subtle. He is apparent in his creation, you see him. His beauty, his greatness, his magnificence, you will see in his creation, right? And he is subtle, that in spite of him being so apparent in his creation, yet you cannot see his being. His being is so concealed and so subtle. You cannot perceive the extent of his glory. His glory is so great that you can't perceive the extent of his glory. Sometimes, just to make us understand this, these are all abstract things, and abstract things, you just don't get to understand it. My uncle, who's late now, Allah fill his grave with Noor, once he was explaining that in Germany, one peasant, like how you have a person doing tocho work, you see. So he's doing tocho work, how much is getting 50 rands a day? So he won the lottery. And how much he won? He won 1.5 billion pounds. So much he won. Now, the people that are running the lottery, they are worried now. Hey, this man, yeah, he won so much. And if you announce it to him straight, he may just get a heart failure. But then he won it according to the rules and the laws of the lottery. He has to be given that money. We can't prevent the money from him. But then how do we break the news to him? So they're deliberating. Eventually they came to a conclusion that, you see, there is the pastor in his area. And obviously he must be attending the Sunday service. So what we will do is we will disclose this information to the pastor, and the pastor will filter the information to him. So this way that news is filtered to him gradually in phases, perhaps he may not get affected so badly. He won so much, 1.5 billion pounds. How much? South African rand, how much is it? Imagine, eh? Over about 15 billion, eh? More than 15, about 20 billion. Isn't it? 20 billion rands. How much is 1 pound? How many rands? Ji? 15 plus 1.5, it should be about 20 billion rands, one shot. So now how to disclose the information to him? So they went and told the pastor that you must go and disclose the information to this peasant. This person is working toho 50 rands a day and he's got this amount. So the pastor said, don't worry, I'll sort it out. So he came for the Sunday service. So the pastor got talking to him, you know, how's things, how's your work and all that. Work is all right, how's the family, children, all. In a roundabout way, he has to get the news across to him. I hear you play the lottery as well. Yeah, I play the lottery. No, I've been praying for you, you know. I've been praying for you. Something must come out for you, you know. Can't be carrying on working like this, you know. Yeah, you know, Pastor, you know, how hard I've been working and the sweat of the brow. I only eat good and I don't rob, I don't cheat. I've been praying very hard for you. I think the Lord is going to favor you now, you know. He's showing his karamat now. Got him round in a circle, got him in a chakkar, then he says, but see, for example, if you won the lottery, then what? You know, if you won the lottery, then what? So, well, Father, then half is yours. The father got a heart attack and he died. Because he's thinking, oh, 10 billion rand will come to me overnight, and 10 billion will come to me. So what I'm getting at is, this is worldly things. And worldly things we can't perceive. Our minds can't contain. Can't digest. So things of the akhirat, how our minds are going to digest it? Therefore, it is the blessing of Allah Ta'ala that the things of the akhirat, Allah Ta'ala doesn't show us exactly in all its beauty, in its splendor, in its greatness. He doesn't show it to us. Because in my understanding, if you only have to see just the one eye of one hur, you will spot dead. I tell you, you will be dead. You can't contain the beauty of that in this world. Your heart is too small and you can't perceive it. Just one eye is so beautiful, so lustrous, you know, that your heart cannot perceive and contain that beauty. It will fall, you'll collapse, you'll die. So Allah Ta'ala made another world that is called Akhirat, called Jannat. There He'll give you a massive heart, strong, very, you know, powerful heart. Here, if you have got a motorcycle engine, like as though you're getting a jet engine. The motorcycle engine, is there any comparison to a jet engine? No comparison. You know, the small little motorcycle that you have, like this Vespa and all that, not the fast ones, the small ones, wriggling on the road. So imagine that one, and imagine a jet engine. Can you imagine the power? The jet engine is so small. Imagine a ship now carrying hundreds of thousands of tons of goods, and imagine the engine it's got. So there's no comparison. So in Jannat you'll get such a powerful engine. Your heart was so powerful, so mighty, so gigantic that it can perceive and it can contain, it can digest all that beauty. Like I say, just one eye, only one eye of the one hur is enough. You know, you will die. In this earthly condition and this earthly ability and strength, and you seeing that, you can't contain it. So I said, no, I have to discontinue this world here. Just shift you on, revamp you. This, you are not even a V5 engine. A V8 is also too small. You know, V8 engine is too small. I need to revamp you. I have to upgrade you, bring you to that very high level. Now you can see that hur. Now you'll be able to appreciate and you'll be able to value. So what I'm getting at is, I have to just give you an introduction to make you understand. See, our minds are so small and the akhirat seems so remote to us that we have to give some examples and illustrations for you to understand that there is a thing like the akhirat. See, earthly conditions are such. One person, he lost his son. Strong, healthy, hale. Overnight he turned grey. Grey, got pressure, sugar, everything overnight. Healthy person, strong, healthy. But he lost his son, the cherry of his heart. He depended upon him completely and entirely. And then he lost his son and everything is gone. So you see, I'm showing you how weak your heart is, how weak your mind is. You can't contain. In the 50s and 60s, there were still whites living in Spingo and all that. Spingo Beach, there were whites living. My auntie was living here in Spingo Rail. So her neighbor used to be a white. So the white man passed away. They were very wealthy, they had a big orchard, all that in Spingo Rail. And his widow couldn't take it. For the rest of her life afterwards, from around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right till about Maghrib time, she would be just sprinting the yard, one end to the other. She doesn't know what's going on. She couldn't take it. From 3 o'clock till, imagine, about 7 o'clock, and she's just going one end to the other. She doesn't know what's going on. Healthy, wealthy, strong, everything. But one tragedy had to come, it knocked her off her feet. So, what I'm trying to impress upon you is this, our ability in this world is very, very limited. Very, very limited ability we've got. We can't take. Small tragedy happens, we can't take it. Small fortune comes our way, then we can't contain it. Our hearts are too small. Right? For tragedies also, our hearts are too small. And for prosperities also, our hearts are too small. So Allah Ta'ala shifts us to another position. He says, no, yeah, I can't give it to you here. Because your mind can't take it, your heart can't take it. I've shifted you to the alam akhirat, from the alam dunya to the alam akhirat, from one realm to another realm, a realm where you'll be able to manage these things, where you'll be able to take it. One friend of mine had to come from India. Not a Maulana. But he's coming from a village, total, just sticks, you see, nothing. No town, nothing. So he came here. Then some friend of his here in South Africa took him to one of the latest malls. He says, he's taking an oath. He said, this is Jannat. They asked him, what you saw this? You know, the way the girls were dressed, and the way the things were all advertised. I never seen something like this. So this is real Jannat. Understand? Now, he didn't see these things. When he saw it, he thinks this is Jannat. Now, compared to Jannat, this is real kachra. This is garbage. You know, garbage to the worst, like sewage. You know, compared to Jannat, this is sewage. Really, it's stinking, it's stench. But because he saw that, and when he came here, he saw something else. When he saw this, he says, come what may, this is Jannat. So, Allah Ta'ala takes us gradually. He builds you up. See, presently what's happened is that you are consumed by the physical. Everything that is physical has consumed you. So when you are consumed with the physical, as though the physical has become a barrier for your spiritual. There is a spiritual within you, and there is a physical within you. And your physical has become a barrier. It's become a barrier, and also your spiritual self can't transcend, can't go up. Why? That physical is tied you up. Can't move. You are like the pigeon, or like the parrot that is within that cage. You can't move. Tied up. Right? So now, you have to, the physical realm is such, in order to progress in the physical realm, you need to take physical stuff, right? You need to go to a gym, you need to take supplements, you need to take everything else, other foods, right? One dozen eggs every day, all that. Then you build up your physical self, right? You physically, you grow nice strength, you've got muscles, your muscles are well toned, all that happens, right? So that is for you to progress in the physical. But there's a way for you to progress in the spiritual as well. Now the spiritual and the physical go in opposite directions. Total opposite directions. In order to progress in the physical, you need to take physical. Then you progress in that, right? But in order for you to progress in the spiritual, then you need to destroy the physical. The lust, the temptation, and all that that is seeming to be so luring to your sight, that you have to cut it off, wean it out. Whether you wean it out really, or you wean it out and obliterate it from your mind, whether it's there or not, but it doesn't make a difference. Like Sulaiman alayhi salam, it's there or it's not. It doesn't make a difference to him. He's a king. He's got so much of control, so much of wealth, gold, silver, everything. But it doesn't make a difference to him. Its presence or its absence, it's absolutely equal to him. So, the physical realm, in order to progress in the physical, you have to gain more and more and more. And for you to progress in the spiritual, you have to destroy the physical. The lust has to be destroyed. The temptation has to be gone. The attachment towards these things must go away. So the heart is nowhere in the physical. You are just taking that physical like how you have to take medication. You have to take medication. I have to take that medication now. I must just take it. So you're taking it, but you don't have that relish because your mind is somewhere else. Your heart is somewhere else. Allah Ta'ala has opened up a window for you that you can peep into the spiritual. Allah will open that for you. You have one glimpse, you'll forget all this. I'll tell you all the enjoyment this has. We'll just go away. My one ustad, Hazrat Mufti Nizamuddin Sahib Rahmatullah, Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with Noor. So his father-in-law, Father Sayyid, from the descendant of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Approximately a month or so before he passed away, he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in life. Like we read this afternoon, Jalaluddin Suyuti Rahmatullah had seen Nabi Sallam 8 times in life. So he had seen Rasulullah in life, personal. And he saw him in full splendor, in his full beauty. When he saw that he seen him in full beauty, he totally lost the interest in life. He was so beautiful, so great, so complete, so perfect, that this whole world is meaningless afterwards. There's no meaning to this world. When you saw that, then there's no meaning. Then this whole world is like one plastic scooter, you know, plastic scooter. Right? If I show you, if I give it to you at this age, plastic scooter, Ruved, you came from Maputo, now I'm giving you, you know, my dear friend, I'm giving you a plastic scooter. What will happen? Will you feel insulted? You'll feel insulted. Won't you feel insulted? Hey, what's wrong with this person here? What must I do with a plastic scooter? So, as though when he saw Rasulullah and this whole thing meant nothing, meaningless, he lost the interest, disinclined. So, many a person want to progress in that way. He wants to progress, but the progress in that way comes after you suppress these things. Temptations you suppress. Now you're closing your eyes from all the haram. Right? It's tempting. I don't say that the haram doesn't tempt you. Woman does tempt, must tempt you. You can't say that you are a stone, you are a rock, you are a column. A column doesn't get tempted. The column sees 101 girls here, right? In whichever clothing and apparel, does it affect it? Column will still stand the same. You don't want to bend down this side or that side. You don't want to smile. You don't want to flirt with her, right? Because you've got no temptation, no feelings. Now, as far as you are concerned, you've got feelings, you've got temptations, you've got everything. And when you've got those things, and all these girls are coming, one came, and the second one came, and by the time the third, fourth one keeps, hey, I'm at the hilt of my taqwa now. Now I can't manage anything beyond this. Now, hey, let me just take a try. Let me just look a little bit only. And the second, then after that, but they're coming near me, you know, I must appreciate them a little bit. And one thing leads to the other until you get involved in something that is not right. So the progress on that line comes with the destroying of your temptation. Temptation, destroying temptation doesn't mean destroy it completely, obliterate it completely. Because then there's no meaning to life. Someone says, "Hey, Mu'adh, make dua for me that I don't have any temptation." Then what? I must make dua that you become a column. I must make dua that you become a stone. I must make dua that you become a rock. Then there's no challenge in life. You are here for a challenge. You are here for a challenge. There's no challenge then. Then when there's no challenge, then how are you going to get the reward? You get a reward when there's a challenge. This rock here doesn't get a reward because there's no challenge for it. This fan, there's no challenge for it. So it doesn't get a reward. It doesn't get punishment. Right? But you will have those challenges. And because you have those challenges, therefore you get a reward as well. For you to succumb, for you to resist, for you to hold, it's very difficult, very, very difficult. You know, especially when you're at the age of 17, 18, 19, you're coming to know yourself, things happening, kuch kuch hota hai. Right? At that age, everything is bubbling within you. Everything is bubbling within you. And then you are holding yourself. You think it's easy. Very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. But then as you hold yourself, then you see everything is opening up. Then another dimension of life is opening up to you. And as you press yourself, as you hold yourself, then everything opens up to you. But I tell you, there's no progress. Without you suppressing, giving in to everything, you're not going to progress. My one friend comes here, just showing you, just by an example, I'm showing you. So he goes for this boxing training, you know. So it's a little bit of a heavy training. He goes for that. So the trainer expects them that the days that you're coming for training, then you can't be sleeping with your wife. At least for the 4 days. So he came for the training, and from his movement, the trainer told him, "Hey, you've been sleeping with your wife. You're faulting." Says, "I could say no. But before the white train, how can I say I did it also? So I can't say yes, I can't say no. But I know I was guilty because I did what I was not supposed to be doing." But now, for him to get that little bit of boxing training and expertise, he need to leave this. I say, we're going to become pious, we're going to get into Jannah, we're going to get all this maqam and all that, all this position, but we're going to enjoy all these things as well. How is it going to happen? At least the haram, that boxer, that trainer was telling you to leave out permissible things. We're not telling you to leave out permissible things. Enjoy the permissible things. But that haram, that slightest haram, slightest haram, smallest of haram, then just leave it out. Even if it's 1%. You think Allah doesn't know the feeling in your heart. He knows the feeling, but He's told you. He knows the feeling in your heart, and then He's telling you that leave it out. Therefore, there's a hadith, although this kalam al hadith, whether it is mawzu or whatever. Man ashaka fakatama famata fahuwa shaheedun. You fell into a deep love, very, very deep love. One is a casual love. You know, children love now. That's a casual love. And one is very deep love, Leila Majnun love, you know, Romeo Juliet love. So it's a very deep level of love, very, very deep level of love. So in all that deep, in spite of the depths, where you are inseparable, mentally you are inseparable, spiritually you are inseparable from that girl. But you say, no, for the love of Allah Ta'ala, I'm not going to entertain this at all. No matter how my heart may be killed, my heart may be destroyed, my heart may be trampled, it may be crushed to pieces because of the suffering that I'm going through for the love of this girl. But I'm not going to entertain this love. My heart is getting crushed down, it's getting broken down. It's getting crushed, but no, for the love of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, your love is too dear. I can't bargain with your love. Every other love I can bargain. But your love, I can't bargain. Your love is too precious. So for your love, Allah Ta'ala, I won't entertain this. In this Tarbiyat was Salik, one time there was an incident. The one person, he says, but I need to explain my whole halat to you. No. He says, in my youth, I had, after Fajr, gone out for a stroll in the open, and there I seen a girl mounted a horse, you know, as elegant as ever. See, the way she was dressed, her hairstyle, and as the horse from a trot, you know, speaking up into a gallop, and then, you know, the movement of her body, and the way the hair, you know, just shoulder length, it was flapping, you know, and brown, black color, you know, and then the beauty of her face, her splendor, and the way she was riding. Now that just caught my heart. I could see, you know, she's normal walk, from a walk to a trot, from a trot to a gallop, and you know, the whole movement was in my eyes. Ankhen the bargaya is just went deep into my eyes. Anyway, then I came to my realization, what am I doing? So I left it out. But now that thought and that memory won't leave me. The thought and that memory will not leave me. I do what I want, making istighfar, toba, namaz, masjid, anything I'm doing. But she is settled deep into my memories, into memory lane. It's all preserved in the archives of memory lane. So I thought, now what must I do? Because I just go to sleep, and the moment I put the blanket over my face, and there she is there, all night, until the morning. Morning I get up with her name, evening I go and sleep with her name. So the night starts off with her, the morning starts off with her, the day is with her. So I thought the better thing now is I move away from this street. I don't remain in the street, because I want to be in the street, I'll crisscross her. Right? And then those memories all will come back to me. So I left the street, I went to live in another street. No difference. Thoughts became even more strong. You know, the thoughts became like a defiant child, you know, ziddi. I'll fix you up, I'll come with more power. I thought I'll leave that street, I'm going to leave another street, to another apartment. But that thought became even more vigorous in me. So what must I do? Then I left the street, I went to live in another town. Now I left the street, I went to another town, and it became exactly like that defiant child. The more I move away, and the more that is just pursuing me, just after me, it's trailing me. I can't do anything. Then I thought, now what must I do? What's the next step? I left the street, I left the town, now what's the next step? So the next step I thought of, that I'll get married. Perhaps if I get married, then the love will be shifted from this girl into the girl that I'm getting married to. So I got married. And just to expect the worst. That girl that I got married to, I never shared the secret, because her heart was broken. Already my heart is broken, her heart will be broken just now. She'll lose the confidence in me. So I couldn't share the secret with her. But I could see now, day by day, this thing is just eating me up. I'm getting children as well. But my heart is elsewhere. It's just moved away. And it's on this girl here. So then I moved away, I got married. And now I'm old now. I'm over 50, 55. But that memory is as fresh as the day I seen the girl for the first time. So then I thought to myself, what next can I do? So I said, no, I won't even talk about her. You know, when you love something, then you talk about her. You know, she and she was something, you know, she. So that she, I just left it out. Yeah? The dolly and all that, I left it out. So I left her name, I left her street, I left the town, I left. And I went to get married, I did everything. But no, that thought is still as fresh as the day I saw them. Now Hazrat Nais complained to Mona, now what do I do? Because at every level of every level of separation I thought of. But the more I'm thinking of it, and the more this thing is coming with vigor, with strength and with might, and haunting me. What do I do? I think my akhirat is destroyed. So Mora says to him, that, you know, I read your letter from the beginning till the end. It's about 19-20 pages, this letter. And I read it with a lot of interest. Because of the sincerity that you were writing, I read it with a lot of interest. But I tell you now that you have done all the steps that were required, you have done. You just do one more step. And that step is that deliberately don't even talk about her, don't take her name, don't be there. And after that, just assign your effort to Allah, leave it to Allah. Whatever was humanly possible, you did. And beyond this is not anything that is humanly possible. So then leave it to Allah. So what we're getting at is, there's two dimensions in you. One is the spiritual and one is the physical. The physical gets satisfaction in one way. And the spiritual in you will also want its satisfaction. So it's got a different way for its satisfaction. Like the physical you have to feed for its satisfaction, you have to feed the spiritual also for its satisfaction. What we'll be going wrong is we filling it physically, expecting it to be fulfilled and satisfied spiritually. But we're filling it what? We're filling it physically. Can we get the spiritual satisfaction? Can't. It's a different realm altogether. This is a different realm altogether. It's a different arena. This is a different arena altogether. So in order to be able to climb up that ladder, then we need spiritual. Spiritual progress. And the spiritual progress requires you to destroy all these physical things. Physical lust, attraction, lure. So there's a lot of things that will be luring you, attracting you, distracting you. It's a lot of things. Woman, wealth, wine, intoxicants. All this is going to be attracting you. You're human, I say, and you are living in this planet Earth. The feelings are alive in you. The feelings are not dead. And you can't ask for those feelings to be dead. Sahaba-i-Kiram, some of them, they come to the Bissosan. And when they saw now, that the attraction to women is very high, and some of them can't get married straight away. So they said, Allah nakhsi, can't we castrate ourselves? No, don't do this. Don't castrate yourself. So they also in that heat of taqwa, that they may slip and they may fall into some wrong. They ask, can't we just castrate ourselves so we get clear of this complete, you know. This is a challenge now. You come here for a challenge. So the challenge can only be if you have that ability. If that ability is gone, there's no challenge. Then there's no trial. When there's no trial, then how are you going to get sawab? How are you going to get reward? How are you going to progress? You're only going to progress if the challenge remains with you. If there's no, there's nothing in you, then there's no challenge, then how are you going to get rewarded? So we're talking about this awliya-i-kiram, you know, some of them are concealed, nobody knows about them. And they prefer to live that life of austerity, that life where nobody knows them. Whatever reason, like I said, some awliya are the zahir, the manifestation of the sifat of zahir. And some are the manifestation of batin. Some are known, publicized, people know about them, and some are not known. So both prefer a certain line, and we won't oppose anyone. The awliya, they perhaps know what they are doing. So when they know what they are doing, so we won't question their personalities, their authenticity, we won't question that. So this buzurg came into a masjid in India. Up till the time when we were studying in the 70s, then nearly every masjid had a well. So he lowered his bucket to pull out the water so that he could make wuzu. Came a little bit late, because it's about 1 minute for the namaz to start, and he came in. So now he needs to take wuzu. So he lowered the bucket to draw out the water, and he sees a whole bucket of pearls. He threw the pearls and he lowered the bucket again, because he's rushing for namaz. Now he sees emeralds and diamonds coming out. Even more expensive stuff's coming out. So he threw that again, and again he lowered the bucket. Again he sees something much even more expensive coming out. Then he says, complains to Allah, Allah Pak, don't play fools with me now. You know, my namaz is going to go just now. I just got half a minute left. I got half a minute left, and I'll miss the takbir ula just now. So Allah Ta'ala's reply came to him, say, we did this deliberately. That these people don't know your status. They don't know that you are a great wali. They think that you are part of the crowd. They don't value you, they don't appreciate you. But for you to be known by them and recognized by them, we have done this. So they are that class that nobody knows. Only Allah Pak knows. It's between them. It's a secret between them and Allah Ta'ala. We have many of these type of women, or these awliya, whether they are men or women. But when they are known, when they are publicized, when they become known, then they say to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, you know, up to this point, it was a secret between me and you. Now the third person came to know about it. Now better, Allah Ta'ala, take me away now. Because they're not enjoying that secrecy. See, love needs, for many cases, love needs secrecy, privacy, doing in private. Nobody must come to know about it. Right? Don't you want the special moments in love? Huh? You want to be in the bergs now, honeymoon, and you want to be in the bergs. That we get to know each other, nobody comes to know about us and whatever. So we go through the bergs. But after now, I looked so many kitabs, I don't know how many kitab I checked, I didn't find this sunnat. After marriage, must go to the bergs. What they're going to get, I don't know. It's a girl, she got the same things what other girls have got. Nothing else, nothing additional. Whether you go to the bergs, or you go to Paris, go to London, America, girl got exactly the same thing. Absolutely, what this girl got, that girl got the same thing. But in marriage, this is what you must look. She got the same thing, this world you must carry on. Don't look for some extra features. Think like this, that it is Coke, right? Whether you're going to drink it in the can, in the glass, in the mug, right? In a bottle. Whatever you have, plastic bottle, whatever bottle you have, the content will be the same. It's not going to be any difference. I want that type of bottle, you know. But the taste will be exactly the same. It will be still Coke. You're not going to get any different. Whether it's black, white, yellow, blue, it's going to be exactly the same. But when you are young, you are naive. And now, not only young people are naive, even old people get naive. Now you're hearing about 75 people, 75 years, 60 phones come here. Some old aunties, 60 years old auntie on the phone came. I won't tell from where. But she's complaining, you know, my husband opened up a big shop in a place somewhere. I won't tell that place. Because your minds are running then otherwise. You'll get ideas. And now, I've been doing everything for this man here. Now he got involved with an 18-year-old girl. And he made nikah. And he wanted me to make her khidmat. So you can be 60, still your mind can be like small, like a child. In this Qasida Burda, you got the one line, one nafsuka tifl. The human temptation is like a child, you know. Whatever it sees, it wants it. I saw this, I want it. So that's a child's nature, isn't it? He sees something, he wants it. He saw it, he wants it. So you have to discipline this child. This child, the nafs is the child. The child in you. Whatever it sees, it wants. You're not going to discipline it. You're not going to grow out of your childhood. Now you're going to progress. I ask you, how are you going to progress? You want to remain like a child. Whatever you see, you are tempted, you want it. So can you grow out? You can't grow out. You can't go into this. You'll have to get out of your childhood. Now, you want to be still in a crèche, and you want to be in university. Can it happen? Can't. You have to get out of the crèche to be in the university. So you are saying, no, I still want to remain a child, and I want to still enjoy the spiritual. How can you marry the both? By Allah Pak, we know about Allah Pak's Qudrat, he can do everything, but that's not the tarteeb. The tarteeb is you have to get out of the crèche, then you get into the university. So you have to get out of all this childhoodness of yours, in order to get into the spiritual realm. There you have to just say, this is alright now, my needs are being fulfilled, let's carry on. The woman, now this, my needs are being fulfilled, let me carry on. This food is enough now, I had enough. Alhamdulillah, it's enough for giving me that energy and that boost, let me carry on. No, I need to have that type of food, that type of bhajia and samosa and this type of fish and that type of roast. You know? Then in namaz also your mind is revolving. You know, after namaz, we have to go to spurs, you know. And you know, I like that one type of steak, you know. I must get that steak, but there must be that coke with it also. And it must be in a certain place, you know. And then we'll enjoy it like that. All namaz, a steak, coke, that restaurant by the beach. Whole namaz. So where is your namaz? Is your namaz in the namaz or in the steak? Yesterday I was telling, you know, aaj ka masla hai kya? The whole masla today is the masla of figures. What? If you can just get that sorted out, it'll come right. Figures. Yesterday I was telling someone, the whole masla today is what? It's a masla of figures. Ask yourself, ask anybody, it's figures. One word. And I showed you all the problem of the day. Because figures got two meanings. Yeah? One is wealth, isn't it? And one is something else as well. So is there anything else that you want? It's figures, right through. It's figures, that's all. That's your masla. Just remove it from the equation, it will come right. Because your mind is stuck up in this. It's stuck, so bogged down, it can't come out from this. Can't come out from figures. So how are you going to progress? You want to get into the university, but still you want to have a crash life. How are you going to move in? So you'll have to tell yourself, I got enough now. I need to move on. For my physical needs, I've got. And I've got for my physical needs now. I don't want to keep on just working on the physical. You know, you reach such a point. One person was here, from the tile shop, you know, he's the owner of the tile shop. So he said, hey, it's ridiculous how people behave, man. I said, what happened? He said, no, we had one pan, you know, toilet pan, that is about 30,000 rand. And man came to do shopping with his wife. So the wife is telling him, Ismail, just buy this one, yeah? And without batting an eye, Ismail Mota just pulled out the 30 grand and he bought the toilet pan for 30 grand. What are you going to get now? You will carry gold in that, what? 30,000 rand just for a toilet pan. That man is telling me, he's an eyewitness. So that he smiled by. The wife had to say, just buy this and he bought it. So where the money goes, see, all this stupid thing, nonsense, just the attraction of the eye. Eye is not fulfilled. Why? Because you went so much in the physical, only thought of physical, and you lost sight of the spiritual, number one. Number two is that there is a void in you. There is a void in you. And you're looking for fulfillment, but you're looking for the fulfillment in the wrong place. That's why you're doing all these stupid things, you see. So you're running after girls, running after money, running after everything else, because there is a void in you. And that void wants some answer, it wants some solution, some satisfaction. And you can't get it. So you're just trying again and again. Like, you know how you get these people that are in drugs, right? So you ask them, what you want? I want that satisfaction. I can't get that satisfaction. I'm still trying for the satisfaction. I can't get that satisfaction. I am on this year and I'm trying again. No, I'll get it. The 100th time he tries, but still he doesn't get that level of satisfaction that he's desirous of. So you don't get it. You don't want to get it. You're going to be just running in a circle. So your satisfaction is elsewhere. Your satisfaction and the answer to your problem is elsewhere. The answer to your problem is in the spiritual. So you have to move away from the physical, get into the spiritual. When you get into the spiritual, then you realize, oh, this is the thing that I was searching for all these years. Now, eventually, alhamdulillah, it took me time. But I at least came to know, I identified that this is what I needed. Now I got to know about it. Otherwise, Allah will leave you. He'll leave you like an animal. You know, you go, you see one pasture this side, you're going that side. Something greener that side, you're going that side. So you're whole day and night just running around pastures. And that is if Allah Ta'ala sealed your eyes. But if Allah Ta'ala is merciful to you, then you begin to realize that it's just a circle, it's just a circus, I can't go around in circles. I need to look for the real thing. The real satisfaction is the satisfaction of the soul. Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. So I need to go for that. And how I'll get there in this way is I'll have to leave all these temptations. This haram temptation, even if it is 1%, even if it is to the level of fantasizing, even if it is to the level of just fantasizing, not real, just fantasizing, my mind, I'm just fantasizing, leaving it out completely. Now gradually you'll find that one window opens out. Then you see, oh, alright, this is what I'm missing. Alhamdulillah, I'm getting somewhere. So then you progress. Otherwise it can't come. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, no, I want to jump the lake and not get wet. Does it happen? Can't happen. You will jump, you must get wet. So you want to have that physical, then you can't come this side. So in that physical, what you will have to leave out is basically two things. One is temptation, like I spoke about temptation, woman, wealth, etc. That's all temptation. And the second thing that you will have to clear out, you know, it's even more difficult, and that is ego. See, I come to a khanqa and I want to be respected. Most people respect you, honor you, and they must see you, that you're very, very naked now, you're pulling tasbih all the time, Quran Sharif. So you're an extra pious person and you must be honored and respected. So, but you came for what? You came to smash yourself down, right? You came to learn that ego is nothing. Ego must be broken down. What I am? What am I? I'm just a drop. Alam yaku nutfatam mimani yumna. Allah is telling you repeatedly, weren't you a drop? Why you think so much of yourself? What were you? And you looked at your beginnings. Had you looked at your beginnings, alam yaku nutfatam mimani yumna. Were you just a drop? Despised drop. Ma'im mahin. The drop, if it comes into your hand, then you'll lick it, what? Put it in your mouth. Huh? Or you'll wash your hand. You'll feel, I can't even read my namaz like this. So you create from that. Look at your beginnings. You were in such a despised state. So Allah draws your attention towards that, so that you must realize who you are. You must understand who you are. Don't think that you are something and you're worthy of something and you need to be distinguished amongst the rest and you need to be respected and honored and all that. Don't worry about these things here. You're going to leave, you're going to go in that line, you'll lose Allah Ta'ala. You won't get Allah Ta'ala. See, if this person is in love, right? He's really in love, that he doesn't worry about himself. But if he's too concerned of himself, then the beloved will say, you're too worried about yourself. You're not worried about me. You know, love means you must be lost in me. What love means? Love means that you must be lost in me. You must be so absorbed in me that you lose yourself. When you're worried about yourself, that means you're not worried about me. That's real love. One is marriage and all, that's a different thing. But I'm talking of real love. You know, love at a very high level. So you, the love of Allah Ta'ala, then you must lose yourself. You must lose sight of yourself. You can't be saying, I love Allah Ta'ala, I love myself. And that is shirk, that is a type of a polytheism. That you love Allah Ta'ala and you love yourself. So where you bring yourself with Allah Ta'ala? So lose sight of yourself, then you will get sight of Allah Ta'ala. Lose sight of yourself. Right? Then will you get sight of Allah Ta'ala? Imagine an ordinary person employs you in his shop. When he's employed you in his shop, he wants you to lose sight of yourself. Don't use your phone. Don't do your own business. Don't do your own things. You come and do my business. An ordinary person that employed you in his shop, in his business, in his hours, he says, no, you lose sight. I don't want any partnership. This is just my business. It's not your business. So you do only my business. Don't do anything else besides what's related to me. So when an ordinary boss is giving 200 rand, 300 rand a day, and he wants so much for himself, then Allah Ta'ala did everything for you. What didn't he do for you? What didn't Allah Ta'ala do for you? That he wants that you give him yourself completely. That you will leave yourself and then come. Therefore, it was the Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah that said, that the path to Allah Ta'ala is very simple. It's just two steps. One step is leave yourself. And the next step is by Allah Ta'ala. If you leave yourself, then you come to Allah Ta'ala. If you trample yourself, your temptations, your ego, your self-esteem, your self-admiration, you want that self-respect, Right? So you trample that. You trample that, then you come to Allah Ta'ala. But you want to keep yourself and you want to keep Allah Ta'ala, then you can't. Then Allah says, I don't want this partnership. Then you keep it for yourself. You go and enjoy yourself. I don't want this. So, therefore, it brings you to the real cause, the khanqa, the real causes. Then you leave your thinking, you leave your reasoning. Your reasoning, your thinking, your analysis, leave it out. And then you hold on to the hand of the Shaykh. Tell him, I want you to lead me to Allah Ta'ala. You read something in one kitab, I want to do this. Bye. You want to reach Allah Ta'ala, then there's a way. Like you want to go to matric or university, there's a way. No, I read something in this book here, I read something in the internet. But I'm telling you straight, I won't tell you again, the teacher will tell you, but you want to get into that university, that you just follow. Close your eyes and you follow me, you'll get there. Otherwise, I'm not taking responsibility of you. So when you come into the Khanqah, then you leave yourself, leave your planning and whatever you read and what you came across, leave all that. Now you ask the Shaykh, what must I do? Leave all your... That you mustn't repeat, oh, hey, this person is harassing me. Right? The Shaykh said, don't worry about that. Again, you come and tell us. He says not, but this person is too worried about himself, his self-respect. People must respect him, must show him love, must show him respect, must show him regards, must show him consideration, then he'll move. But then I don't want to take this on. So you leave your self-esteem, all that, leave all that out, and then you move. When you want your self-esteem, then you can keep your self-esteem, preserve yourself and carry on. Then you can't move. Then you are like that seed, you know that seed. For that seed to progress, it needs to kill itself. Then you see it will flourish. Khajur, date seed, ajwa, most expensive. 1 kilo, you're paying about 300 rands. Good stuff, very, very good stuff. You're paying 300 rands. But that ajwa seed had to go into the land and destroy itself. When it destroyed itself, then it sprouted, came into a tree, then it sprouted, it's bearing fruit. The fruit is spread out throughout the world. Everybody's demand, the fruit is in demand. But that seed said, no, I don't want to break myself. I want to be in one piece. I want to be in one piece. Can it be of any good to people? It will look good. That's all. It's a seed. That's all. We'll shelve it somewhere. Ramzan time will throw it perhaps. When you throw it, so much of it, just throw it one side. So there's no value of it until it doesn't get into the soil, break itself, and sprout out. Until it's lost itself, it's not nowhere. So you have to lose yourself. Lose sight of yourself completely. I'm nothing. Nothing. Allah tries everything. I lost sight of myself. When you lost sight of yourself, now you're taking the first step. You're moving. So there's two things that are required. One is temptation. And one is yourself, ego. Leave this both. Leave these things out. Or you just take the first step and then straight away, now you want these things to happen. One step. You just came in, started off and you want things to work out. How is it going to work out? Your nafs has to be disciplined yet. It needs to be trained up, disciplined, corrected. It takes a whole long period for you to get that discipline in yourself. You didn't get that discipline and you want to shoot off. How can you get that? How you going to get that? You know, in order to get that jet fuel, it needs to go into the refining process. Refine. Ordinary motor car is taking a certain refined quality. And the jet, even more refined. And if it's a fighter jet, then even more refined. So you want to move at the speed of a fighter jet. You want to move at the speed of a rocket, right? So you need a very, very refined fuel, very extremely refined fuel. Then you can move on. And you don't have that, how are you going to move? You want to move, but how are you going to move? I tell you, I ask you, how are you going to move? So you have to refine yourself. Refine. The temptation has to be two things, temptation and ego. Then that's what my room of that says. It says, Peshe marde hale pamal shud. What? Peshe hale pamal shud. In other words, if you want to come to Allah Ta'ala, then annihilate yourself. When I say annihilate yourself, you know, leave your suggestions, your analysis, I'm doing this, I need to do this, leave all that. Then you got one Shaykh, he's going to guide you. You tell him, I'm doing this, I'm reading this, I'm doing this. So I'll carry on. Because you telling what you're doing, that means you didn't come for the guidance. You could have done what you're doing, you could have done it wherever you were doing it. But you came here, why did you come here? You came here to take instruction. You came to give instruction that I'm going to do this. What you came for? To give instruction or to take instruction? To take instruction, not to give instruction. So then you can't go into university and say, no, I'm going to do it like this. So that lecturer will tell you, do it, carry on. Come end of the year, no progress you've made. You have made the progress because you couldn't conform, couldn't agree. So these are all ways. So this has to be illustrated and pointed out to you so you begin to understand. You understand this path, you understand what it is all about. Don't just think, I'll just take one tasbih and carry on. You progressed. No. There's all systems. In a school, there's systems, right? Different subjects, different sciences are presented before you. Homeworks, assignments, semesters, examinations. Then eventually you pass by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Same here also. You go through these different phases, then eventually you pass. Eventually you come through, inshallah. So this, what is required of you is you conform. Conform. Just close your eyes and conform, agree. Don't do your own thing. You do your own thing, then you go off. The Shaykh will not tell you the second time. He'll just tell you once. After he doesn't tell you. You agree or just conform with me. You don't come and give me instruction. What I must do this. I'm going to do this. Ask, what must I do? I'm doing it. Must I do? Am I doing the right thing? How must I do it? What must I do? So at every step you have to ask. You find out. You set out your own program. Then what's the need? Let's say you can do this. You can do that in your own home. You can do it. Can't you do that in your own home? You can do that in your own home. But you came here to learn how to conform. You came here to learn how to agree, to accept. So this Bani Adam is different. Bani Adam is not just like the Malaika. He is above the Malaika. The Bani Adam, mankind is above the Malaika. At one moment, right, mankind is told, now you polish the shoe. He's polishing the shoe, right? Boss is telling him, polish the shoe. So he's polishing the shoe. And the next moment, the boss tells him, I'm going overseas. Now you must be sitting in my position. You must be the manager of this whole store, this whole business. So at one moment, he told him, you must polish the shoe. He's doing it. Next moment, you must sit in my position. He's prepared to do that as well. So he can't say, hey, I'm so qualified that I must go and polish your shoes. He can't say that. So that's the position of mankind, that he must be so vulnerable that he can be fitted into any position. This position, whichever position Allah Pak wants him to be in, he's doing it. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib bada. Morning, can make dua.
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لي ذنبي ووسع لي خلقي وطيب لي كسبي وقنعني بما رزقتني ولا تذهب طلبي إلى شيء صرفته عني اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم اجعلنا مخلصين لك وأهلنا في كل ساعة في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم اجعل همتي وهواي فيما تحب وترضى. اللهم اجعلني ممن توكل عليك فكفيته، واستهداك فهديته، واستنصرك فنصرته. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد، ونعيما لا ينفد، ومرافقة نبينا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة، جنة الخلد. اللهم أصلح ذات بيننا، واهدنا سبل السلام، ونجنا من الظلمات إلى النور، وجنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن، وبارك لنا في أسماعنا وأبصارنا وقلوبنا وأزواجنا وذرياتنا، واجعلنا شاكرين لنعمتك مثنين بها قابلها وأتمها علينا. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك، ولا تنسنا ذكرك، ولا تهتك عنا سترك، ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك، واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى. اللهم صل على روح سيدنا محمد في الأرواح، اللهم صل على قبر سيدنا محمد في القبور، اللهم صل على مشهد سيدنا محمد في المشاهد، اللهم صل على موقف سيدنا محمد في المواقف. Ya Allah, forgive our sins, O Allah. O Allah, forgive our sins, O Allah. What else can we say, O Allah? O Allah, in this Mubarak month, amongst your bondsmen, in your house, O Allah, you have allowed us to come and sit, O Allah. O Allah, this much you can definitely do, that you don't send us out empty-handed, O Allah. Muflisanim amidan darquhetu. شيئا لله يا جمال روحي تو. والله do not send us out empty handed. والله والله who can question you if you declare our forgiveness tonight. والله والله declare our forgiveness. والله والله forgive us. والله والله it has been decades that we have been sunk into sins. والله we have wasted our lives. والله Oh Allah, drowning in our sins, oh Allah, day and night, oh Allah, enjoying every favor of yours, oh Allah. Lekin is phooti zaban se ek kalima hai shukar nahi nikla, oh Allah. Oh Allah, do forgive us, oh Allah. Oh Allah, do forgive us, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we are yours, oh Allah. Hamari taraf se khata hai khata, lekin teri taraf se aata hai aata. You continued giving us, oh Allah. You never ever deprived us despite our sinning and our wrongs, O Allah. O Allah, do continue favoring us like this, O Allah. Have the relationship with us like what a father has with his small, immature child. The child smacks him on his face. Instead of punishing the child, he kisses the child's hand. O Allah, continue favoring us like this, O Allah. Continue concealing our faults, O Allah. Oh Allah, in this world you have kept us with dignity and respect, oh Allah. Oh Allah, allow the dignity and respect to continue even in the hereafter, oh Allah. Conceal our faults, oh Allah. Oh Allah, forgive us, oh Allah. We are weak. Oh Allah, allow us to leave ourselves and walk towards you, oh Allah. Oh Allah, allow us to leave our temptations and our self-esteem, oh Allah, and walk towards you, oh Allah. Oh Allah, how can we do this, oh Allah? It is a task that only can be possible if you help us, O Allah, and you pull us towards you, O Allah. O Allah, do guide us, O Allah. Kadam kadam par puri rehbari aur rehnumai farma, O Allah. O Allah, do help us, O Allah. O Allah, rid of our hearts of all evil and wrong, O Allah. O Allah, cleanse our hearts, O Allah. O Allah, purify our hearts, O Allah. Take a place in our hearts like how you have taken a place in the hearts of your holy Allah. Oh Allah, find a place in our hearts as well, oh Allah. Oh Allah, clean our hearts, oh Allah. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with your love, oh Allah. Remove the love of everything else from our hearts, oh Allah.
Oh Allah, do forgive us. Oh Allah, we are weak, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we are the ummatis of your beloved Nabi, oh Allah. On merits of that, oh Allah, do forgive us, oh Allah. Take pity on us, oh Allah. Oh Allah, do forgive us, oh Allah. Oh Allah, our parents, oh Allah, do forgive them as well, oh Allah. Grant them afiyat in every respect, oh Allah. Enable us to be obedient towards them, oh Allah. Enable us to do the khidmat in such a manner, oh Allah. Unke dilo duaon se phoot pare, oh Allah. Baag baag ho karke duaon se phoot pare, oh Allah. Oh Allah, keep them pleased with us at all times, oh Allah. Allow us to understand that their pleasure is your pleasure and they are our jannat, oh Allah. Allah, those of us, oh Allah, whose parents have passed on, oh Allah, do forgive them, oh Allah. Do forgive our parents in the hereafter, oh Allah. Oh Allah, make every moment for them in the hereafter a happier moment, oh Allah. Whatever their weaknesses may have been, the wrong they may have committed, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we are pleading on their behalf, oh Allah. Forgive them, oh Allah. Don't take them to task, oh Allah. Oh Allah, do forgive them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, wa asatidha ikram, wa mashaykh, oh Allah. Every person that had been instrumental in us even learning one letter of deen, oh Allah. Oh Allah, according to your shan, oh Allah, you reward them on our behalf, oh Allah. Especially Hazrat Mufti Sahab, oh Allah. You know the role he played in our lives, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you reward him, oh Allah. You reward them according to your shan, oh Allah. Grant them afiyat in every respect, oh Allah. Grant their progeny and descendants right until the day of Qiyamah afiyat in every respect, oh Allah. And you forgive them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, those amongst them who have passed on, oh Allah, you grant them Jannatul Firdaus, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you grant them your pleasure, oh Allah, and you be pleased with them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, all those marhum from the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Allah, those of them who are in comfort, oh Allah, you increase their comforts, oh Allah. Those of them who are not in comfort, oh Allah, you grant them the comforts of the hereafter, oh Allah. And oh Allah, those who are being punished, oh Allah, do forgive them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, do forgive them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, on the merits of them being the ummatis of your beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Allah, do forgive them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you cannot punish them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, who could question you if you declare their forgiveness, oh Allah. Do forgive them, oh Allah. Do forgive them. Oh Allah, you make us from amongst your thankful servants, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we don't know what it is to be thankful and grateful, oh Allah. We only know what it is to enjoy your favors, oh Allah. We have enjoyed your favors all our lives, oh Allah, but we never ever thank you, Allah. And we can't thank you, Allah. You give us the strength to thank you. You show us how to thank you, Allah. Record us from amongst your shakirin bandas, oh Allah. Record us from amongst your grateful bandas, oh Allah. And do not test us, O Allah. O Allah, on account of our misuse of your ni'mat, O Allah, in account of us sinning, O Allah, do not deprive us in any way, O Allah. Do forgive us, O Allah. O Allah, ourselves, our household, our progeny, O Allah, adorn us with the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah. O Allah, make every other way of life be detested and disliked to us, O Allah. Create the disgust for every other way of life, O Allah. Adorn us with the sunnah, O Allah. Liven the sunnah in our homes, O Allah. Kamil sunnah ki kamil ittiba nasib farma, O Allah. Aur usi par hamare maut a jaye, O Allah. O Allah, grant us the sunnah, every single sunnah, O Allah, from the smallest to the greatest sunnah, O Allah. Bring it into our lives, O Allah, into the lives of our households, O Allah. O Allah, make it such that we pass away practicing this sunnah, O Allah, right until our last breath, O Allah, and make this way of life beloved to us and our household, O Allah. O Allah, you can make it happen for us, O Allah. You give us the strength, O Allah, and you adorn us with the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, all those that are sick, O Allah, and ailing, O Allah, you grant them shifa, O Allah. You grant them shifa, O Allah. You grant them shifa, O Allah. You grant them ease, O Allah. All those who have requested us to make du'as for them, O Allah. You grant them, O Allah. You grant them all their jais tamanna, O Allah. O Allah, you fulfill their wishes, O Allah. O Allah, our students, O Allah. On account of our weaknesses and our wrongs, O Allah. Do not deprive them, O Allah. O Allah, enable every each one of them. O Allah, enable every each one of them to pass the pinnacle of perfection as far as tarbiyat and ta'aleem goes, O Allah. O Allah, you do not deprive them, O Allah. Grant them and bless them with izzat, afiyat, ilm and amal and umar, O Allah. O Allah, you be pleased with them, O Allah. Accept them for the khidmat of your deen, O Allah. Adorn them also with the sunnah, O Allah. O Allah, you be pleased with us, O Allah. You be pleased with us, O Allah. Allahumma rida anna ridan la taskhutu anna ba'dahu abada. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Oh Allah, the Muslims around the world, oh Allah, those that are suffering, oh Allah, oh Allah, you bring about afiyat and ease in their lives, oh Allah. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq and hidayat, oh Allah, to conform and come back to the sunnah tariqah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you direct us towards good, oh Allah, direct us towards the works of your pleasure that will take away this azab and punishment, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you give us the strength to conform, oh Allah, and change the conditions around the world, oh Allah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala ali Sayyidina Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa sallallahu ala khayri khalqi Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali wa ashabi ajma'in bi rahmatika.